Welcome to Equipped, a podcast by Connection Church. Equipped is a conversation about multiplying gospel community and fueling spiritual growth. We have one clear goal, to equip leaders to multiply. We want to help people follow Jesus, make disciples, lead small groups, and plant churches. My name is Jordan Thigpen, and I'll be leading you through today's conversation. Let's get equipped. Well, hey, everybody. My name is Jordan. It's good to be with you guys today. We are going to be thinking about something a little different. I don't know if this is going to be a little bit longer. I don't know. I'm really kind of toying with an idea for this episode. In general, I've been thinking about how do we get the most out of Sunday morning? How do we get the most out of church? How do we get the most out of our following of Jesus? And I've been just kind of talking to different buddies of mine and different coworkers about this idea, because I think it's something that we can observe in a lot of areas, right? Like this clear in different professions, different people are leaders of that industry for different reasons, and there's different characteristic traits, there's different levels of involvement. Lots of things, right? So the one that is the most obvious that I may lose all of you right off the bat, but like football is my jam. And in football, like every offensive coordinator is calling some of the same plays, but yet some of them call plays and they are wildly successful, right? They are thought of as like offensive geniuses. And what I was talking to John about, we were sitting here kind of kicking this idea around, is the reality is that that offensive geniuses, or people even just talking about football, it's some of the same plays. They're just getting normal people to do something extraordinary, like extraordinary effort, extraordinary buy-in, extraordinary focus. And I think that there's something there for us in thinking about our faith, that roughly every Sunday, there's going to be some singing, there's going to be prayer, there's going to be a time of response, there's going to be preaching, there's going to be people serving, there's going to be people, helping us in the parking lot, there's going to be times where there's heart and soul, there's going to be times where there's a growth challenge, there's going to be an invitation and a connect group, and there's just so many things, right? All these different things. And yet, for some people, we can look at those things and think, that is the most meaningful thing I can give my life to. Like, I know so many of you personally, and it's my own story, that you think about connect groups and it's the thing that changed your life. And yet, you think about another person or another person who maybe comes from a different church background, or it's just not been true of their story, that they think about small groups and they just don't get it. They don't get why should we do it. And we can just look, you know, objectively at Connection Church Statesboro and see most people don't get it, specifically when it comes to connect groups, right? People don't get why it is so important. You know, a lot of our audience for this podcast, for Equipped, you are a connect group leader and you get it. You see why it's important. You give your time and your energy and your effort to it. And yet in comparison to the amount of people that are here for a Sunday that aren't in your group throughout the week, it's just clear that there's a disconnect there. There's clear that there is a disconnect in that level of participation. And I was drawing that parallel of thinking about like how could we get more people excited about the normal things of Christianity, right? It's clear that for some people, they hear the preaching of the word and they are locked in. They love it. And then there's other people that listen to sermons and they're like, man, this is so hard for me to stay focused. This is so hard for me to sit here and listen. It's so hard for me to get to, like, whether it's an ADD thing or whether it's a distraction thing, or I'm not an audible learner. I'm a visual learner. I'm a hands-on learner. I'm not an audible learner. You know, whether it's worship, where people would, you know, they point to, like, you know, I'm not a emotions person. I'm more of a factual person, you know. And so there's all these different things, like whether it's serving, like I can't find, like a person may say, I can't find my lane with serving, or like, hey, I'm just so busy throughout the week. I just want to be able to come in and enjoy a Sunday morning, or hey, this just isn't the right season for me when it comes to serving. And so I guess the idea that I'm playing with in my mind, that I'm just kind of processing out loud, is how do we get the most out of the normal? How do we strengthen ourselves through the normal? And that's where I would say for you as the leader, and I would say for a person, if they were coming to me for advice, I guess what I'm saying, okay, here's what I'm saying is that you can't constantly have abnormal experiences and expect consistent strength. You can't expect to always live off of abnormal experiences to consistently have normal strength. So think about like the if you remember as a little kid going to church camp. At church camp, that was always a time where there was going to be this abnormal experience of God's grace. You're there with a lot of kids that there's singing and there's preaching, and you know, there's an environment where you're experiencing new things and you're seeing new people, and the Lord seems to move in a strange way. I know for me, church camp was not always my thing, even as a kid. Like I just, something about it just didn't deeply resonate with me or connect with me. But I know just enough, there's enough of the phenomenon, there's enough people's story of church camp. But, you know, you can't live off of, and inevitably the story is like, then you come home from church camp, and then what do you do with your faith? Or like, you know, common story, this is true for so many of my friends from college, that connection, church as a college student, was some version of a spiritual high where they had abnormal community. And they had, and a lot of that's because we had an abnormal amount of time to spend together. We could come to church together. We could sit together. We could serve together. We could go eat lunch together. We could hang out later. We could play intramurals. Then we could go to Connect Group, and then we could hang out again. And then all these different things. And what it is we had an abnormal season of life to be strengthened. And yet then we got into the normal and we didn't have strength. And so I see this so often. I feel like now as a pastor, where people begin to drift away in their faith because they don't have abnormal means to draw strength from the Lord. And some of that is because we look at the normal means of grace and we won't press into the normal means of grace because we look at it and think it comes at an unreasonable cost. I want to walk through some examples with that. So in this series, I want to call this series A Better Game Plan. A few years ago, Brandon wrote a book called A Better Story. And a lot of the story is about how God was writing a better story than he would write for himself. And he goes through and says and looks at how the world had offered him one narrative of his life, and he had beliefs that were about himself, and he had beliefs that he had about people and about God. And those were that was a story that was both kind of on the one hand handed down to him by his life experiences and by his own biology, his own biography, meaning the story of his own life, and then also just the family that he grew up in, not in a negative way, but just that the like one story he shares in the book is about being a new kid at a new school, not having a lot of meaningful friends, but then he gained friends through playing sports and being good at baseball. So therefore his identity and community and his value as a friend is directly tied to baseball. But then what happens when baseball is no longer there, right? Even in that, he was abnormally good for an abnormal amount of time in an abnormal situation. But when life just gets back to normal, that strength isn't there anymore. What a better story begins to tell is the story of how God intervened in his life and he received grace and mercy through God's better story. And what I want to be able to press in on for us is that God's better story leads to God's better game plan. And what I would tell you is that God's game plan comes at a reasonable cost. Okay, I want to read this to you. This is Romans 12, 1-3. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So in that verse, he's pointing back to all that God has done through Romans 8 and Romans 9 of calling us out of death and into life, of creating, of grafting us into an eternal people and of calling us to this divine call of the beautiful feet to go and participate in his great mission. And he says, I appeal to you in light of all of these things. That's what the therefore means. In light of everything I've already said, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, which is good and acceptable and perfect. So let's think about a few things here. It says to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's what I would point to and say, God's game plan comes at a reasonable cost. This is the beauty of I believe, of Christianity, is that we're not saying that following Jesus isn't going to come at a cost. Jesus, following Jesus comes at a cost. And what the beauty of looking at the resurrection, what we see is that it is a worthy cost. It's a reasonable cost. And we present this body, what we have now, where we are now, who we are now, we offer that as a living sacrifice. We live in light of that sacrifice. We don't pretend like it's not there, and we don't try to ride the fence. We're not trying to split the difference of, well, on Sunday I'll live for Jesus, but Monday through Saturday belong to me. There's no sacrifice in that. So God's game plan comes at a reasonable cost. And I think part of what I'm playing with in my mind, and I think I want to go through and spend some time laying it out in more specificity within each area, is I want to really look at God's game plan. And I want to think about how in each of the individual plays that make up God's game plan, it comes at a reasonable cost, and it's that play is ran as a part of God's game plan because we have such a glorious mission. We have such a glorious mission that we get to participate in. We have such a glorious mission that God has called us to, and he's inviting us to be participants in. But this is something I wrote down as I was really thinking about this idea. If you subtract a better story from a better game plan, in the end, it becomes a stupid plan. I want to say that maybe a different way, maybe in a more pastoral way. If you subtract the truths and reality of who Jesus is and what he's done, and by subtract them, I mean either you fail to see them or you overlook them or you just forget about the realities of them or you don't believe them. If you don't look at the cross and the resurrection of Jesus as the good news of the gospel, if you subtract those things, this isn't just Jordan's opinion. This is Paul, right? Paul says that if the resurrection didn't happen, then Christians are the most to be pitied. Why wouldn't we just eat and drink for tomorrow we die? So if the resurrection is not true, if the better story is not true that God is extending to us through Jesus, then the game plan that I'm going to lay out, it's a silly plan. It's a nonsensical plan. In fact, it's a plan that Paul says we should be pitied for. But then on the other side, if you subtract the mission, and I think this is the one that gets a lot of us, if you subtract the mission, it becomes an unreasonable cost. I want to be clear, like participating in God's game plan, it comes at a cost. Any of you that helped set up and tear down when we were in the high school, you know serving and set up and tear down came at a cost. But God's game plan for Connection Church was that we would meet at Statesboro High, and we looked at that time at that building and said, look at God's provision. Look at all the ways God's provided for us. Look at what God is doing in Statesboro, Georgia. Can you believe this? But that game plan, as a part of that story, came at a reasonable cost. It cost us time and energy to set up and tear down in Statesboro High, but it was a completely reasonable cost. Now, not everybody felt that way, obviously, because we weren't busting at the gills with people to help with set up and tear down. Because for some people, regardless of the story that we know and regardless of the game plan to participate in it, sometimes we look at that and think that's an unreasonable cost. But that's because we lose sight of the mission of what we get a chance to receive. Okay, this is going to take weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks for me to break down, but I really feel like we're onto something special as we think about this. And so I want to think about a specific example to help us think about God's better game plan. All right, so today I want to think about what is God's better game plan for participating in the church. So this past Sunday, most specifically for Heart and Soul, like why does being committed to a local church matter? Why does being committed to a local church matter? And so this past Sunday, we had a chance to see 40 people at Heart and Soul on Sunday morning and then another 24 people at Heart and Soul on Sunday night. And this is what we introduce the material with, is saying, why does being Heart and Soul matter? Heart and Soul, for us, we break it down into two sessions. Session one is, what does it mean to be heart and soul with Jesus? Then session two is, what does it mean to be heart and soul with Jesus at Connection Church specifically? And so the reason, though, in general, if you're at another church and you don't use the language of heart and soul is our version of church membership. And we use a different terminology for that when we use the language of heart and soul, because we didn't want a long list of members like at a club or like at an association where all the people's names on the list are on the list, but only a few people are actually carrying the load. We wanted something that represented the meaningful commitment that people were making. And what we said, what we teach in Heart and Soul, is that the reason that being committed to a local church matters so much is because of the images of the images that the Bible uses to talk about commitment to a local church. And so it refers to one of the images of the local church is that it is the body of Christ, that it is the family of God, that we are members one of another. I guess that's the body. But all of these different images, the body, the family, and all these different things, that in effect, this is one of the powerful lines of Heart and Soul to me, is that to say that I don't want to be committed to a local church is to say, in effect, I'd rather be an orphan, I'd rather be dismembered, I'd rather do life alone, that I'd rather not exist next to brothers and sisters. I need to find where that is. Okay, I found my notes on Heart and Soul. All right, what we teach is the metaphors of the church. It says throughout the scriptures, we see the church referenced as the family of God, the body of Christ, and the flock of God. And so in each of these images, what we see is that to not commit to a church, or to say, I don't want to be deeply committed to a local church is to in effect say, I don't want to be part of God's family. I'd rather be an orphan. I don't want to be a part of his body. I'd rather be dismembered. I don't want to be part of his flock. I'd rather be isolated. And I don't want to be a part of his kingdom. I'd rather live as an exile. That is a dysfunctional way. And really, I guess to be consistent with what I'm trying to say, that is not a good game plan. That is not a good game plan for existing in light of the cross. I just don't know how you could look at the local church as the bride of Christ and say, hey, I really like the groom being Jesus, but I don't like the bride. I don't like Jesus's wife. I think she's ugly. I think she's useless. I think she's pointless. I want to be nice to Jesus, but I don't want to be nice to his bride. I want to be in relationship to Jesus, but not his bride. That ain't going to work. That is a bad game plan. And so in thinking about a better game plan, I want to think about why do people, but so here's what's clear, and I guess this is my burden behind this, is so much of our church lives as exiles. So much of our church lives dismembered. Maybe they are a part of the body of Christ, but they are over there like a hand cut off from the rest of the body. If you were to find a hand laying on the sidewalk by itself, you would be terrified, right? Like you would not see that as a beautiful whole picture of a person. That's because it's dismembered. That's not the way it was created to be. And so when we think about the local church, like committing to the local church, what we at Connection Church call Heart and Soul, why does that matter? Well, because that's the way God designed his followers to exist until he returns. We are created to exist in perfect relationship to God, but until heaven, we won't be in perfect relationship to God because we are still in the in-between. We are in between the garden that God created in perfection and the heaven that he's going to fully restore perfection. And in the meantime, we need the church. That's what he created it for, was to fulfill his mission together. That's the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is for us to participate in God's mission together. And as Hebrews says, we are to stir one another up to love and to good deeds. We need one another. We need each other as a part of the family. We need each other as a part of the flock. We need each other as a part of the body. And to do that is to participate in God's better game plan. But what I see so often what I see so often is I feel like in the life of our church specifically, is people aren't willing, or people look at that and think that is an unreasonable cost. It costs me too much to be committed to the local church. And sometimes that cost is as simple as coming to a couple of classes. People look at that and think, well, why do I have to go to these classes in order to demonstrate that I want to be a part of this church? Well, that's really simple. That's a simple one to answer. One would be because that's what the elders and leaders of our church have put in place. But then two, we have a responsibility to be caretakers and overseers of people's souls. That's what pastoring is. We are shepherding the souls and the lives of the people under our care. And so Jesus paints this picture of we don't let a wolf into the sheep pen. We have to ensure that it's only sheep that are in the sheep pen. And to do that, we have to have a process by examining what is the nature of the sheep that are in the sheep pen. And that's one way that we do that. And I'm sharing all of this, I guess, specifically for you as Connect Group leaders or for us as leaders of the church. Heart and soul can't just be a play in the playbook that we look at as a silly play. We as a church, we as leaders of this church have to see the value of heart and soul and how it helps us accomplish God's glorious mission. If heart and soul doesn't help us accomplish God's glorious mission, we need to stop doing it. If we just going to let anybody and everybody in and treat anybody and everybody the same, I think there's a lot of negative effects that would happen. Heart and soul and church membership more broadly represents the people that want to be the most invested in the church, that want to be the most informed about what's going on, that want to be the most involved in what's happening in the life of the church. And what I've really like pounded the table about over the years is that you look at the life of a person who is heart and soul and the way that they participate in our church, it's different than other people. Not everybody looks at what we're doing as a church and it's deeply valuable to them. And I guess the truth of the matter is too, is our church is after a very specific thing. We're not just after how big of a church can we grow. We're not after how many people can fit in these seats. We're not after how big of a budget can we grow. If we were after those things, we would lead and shepherd the church in a very different way. We're after how many disciples can we make? How many people can we help find their place in God's family? How many people can we help provide community for that we might see people live in light of God's design? We're after how many churches can we plant to help make heaven feel more full? We're after something very different. And to do that, to accomplish that mission, it requires heart and soul. It requires people bought into what it means to know and love Jesus personally and how to best operate on that in that game plan here at this church. And I'm not saying that our strategies and that our ministry goals are perfect. They're not on par with the Word of God. But it is what we are doing here. It is what this church is trying to accomplish. We want to see people get saved. We want to see people baptized. We want to see people in connect groups. It's not satisfying to us that only 350 out of over 1,500 people are in a connect group. It's not satisfying to us, and I'm not just talking about staff. I'm talking about the people that are heart and soul that look at the realities of our church. We are so grateful for how many people are coming on Sunday, and we see it as a marker of God's grace, for sure. But we know that there's a better game plan for them. We know that there's so much more. We know that it's not just not ideal. We know it's dangerous that somebody would be sitting in a church service Sunday after Sunday with no concept of how to live for Jesus Monday through Saturday. It's the thing that breaks our hearts about a lot of our own families, right? That they spent their whole life in the sheep pen, but they're not a sheep. And maybe they're not a wolf, but they're not sheep. I think for me, I want our, especially for you as a Connect Group leader, if you're listening to this and you're a Connect Group leader, or maybe you're at another church and the idea of church membership is just an optional strategy. I want you to understand that there's a better game plan, that God designed the local church to be his bride, that at the end of time, Revelation 21 paints the picture that the new city of God is represented as the collection of all of his bride that lives perfectly in light of who he is. But in the meantime, where we are now, we have a responsibility to participate in his bride. That we are, as Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3 says, that we are to offer our lives as a living sacrifice, that we need brothers and sisters that help us renew our mind, that in light of the mercies of God, there's a better game plan that we have opportunity to, and not just an opportunity, but an obligation to participate in. We have an obligation to not be conformed to this world. See, that's what participating in the local church is. It's pushing back from being conformed to this world. That's what I mean when I say a lot of times we look at the cost of being committed to the local church and we see and what we believe is that that is an unreasonable ask. That is an unreasonable request. What do you mean that I need to grow in my generosity? What do you mean I need to exist in community? What do you mean I need to serve? What do you mean I need to share my faith? That is an unreasonable thing. Don't you know how busy I am? Don't you know how strapped we already are for finances? Don't you know how many time demands there are on my life? Don't you know what I do for a living? And on and on and on. That is just an unreasonable ask. And then for some of us, we look at those things and we think, well, yeah, my life is a living sacrifice. Everything I have is God's already. And he can ask me to do anything with my life. He can ask me to do anything with my time, my money, my resources, my relationships. It's all his. And so, yeah, I'll do that. I'll give of all of these things. It's a reasonable request from an eternal Savior, because we're living in view of God's mercies. That's the first half of the verse. We have to see the better story, and we have to know that that better story necessitates a glorious mission. Because, friends, somebody believed that for you. Somebody saw the glorious mission and responded to it and extended a better story. And that's how you and I became believers. That's how you and I heard the good news of the gospel. Somebody embraced that glorious mission and they extended a better story. And in doing that, they embraced a better game plan. Participating and becoming committed to the local church, becoming heart and soul, is a part of God's better game plan. God's game plan is not that we would be, that we would not be dismembered, that we would not be isolated, that we would not be orphans, that we would not be exiles. God's game plan results in us being co-heirs with Christ. It results in us being members of the body. It results in us being a part of the family and having a seat at the table with the family. That's a better game plan. Now, are there sacrifices that we have to make? Yeah, for sure. There's doors that need to be held. There's connect groups that we need to attend. There's giving of our finances that we need to do joyfully and sacrificially. It needs to stretch us. It needs to be regular and recurring. Yes, it takes a sacrifice. Every time that money leaves my bank account to go towards giving, it's both joyful and painful. There's no way around it. But the better story leads me to participate in a better game plan for a glorious mission. And whatever that living sacrifice is, it is a reasonable cost. It's a completely reasonable cost to pay. And I'll do it again and again, and I believe you will too. And I want to go through this same exercise. I want to do that for serving. I want to do that for how do we get the most out of these things? Whether it's preaching, listening to sermons, whether it's worship, and I want to bring people in and talk about some of these things. But I wanted to start with this one of heart and soul. So we've talked a little bit about what is the unreasonable cost a lot of times that keeps us from wanting to be committed to the local church. A lot of times it's because we don't see the better story. And a lot of times it's because we don't understand the glorious mission that we get to be a part of. But more specifically, a lot of times that it comes at a cost of financially, where I'm compelled to give. It comes at a cost of time because I need to be in community. It comes at a cost of my ego because I need to serve someone else and not just my own needs. But then too, I think sometimes we don't necessarily see how to get the most out of being committed to the local church. We don't see the glorious mission that we're getting to participate in. And what I would say is that being committed to a local church, being heart and soul with us, it puts you on the path to make disciples. It puts you on the path to participating in the unique glory and grace of God that exists in making disciples. So obviously in the Great Commission, go and make disciples, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. And you know the verse, Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Us going and making disciples, that is participating in God's glorious mission. And we do that primarily through the local church. There is no other organization or task that God appointed this responsibility. So the book of Acts, it doesn't just assume, it prescribes Acts 2:42-47, that we would be deeply connected in the body. I'll let you go back and read it if you don't agree with me or don't believe me. That it shows a community that is thick with commitment one to another. I mean, even Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira, God shows extreme commitment to the purity of his bride and not letting self-promotion and self-service and manipulation to creep into the body of Christ. There was extreme commitment to the local church. We participate in God's great mission by existing within God's great church. And really, a lot of the genesis of this podcast, as far as this idea, is Billy Shiver said on our podcast on the first Equipped conversation, he said, that's why the church is such a genius plan. And that's just been in my mind for such a long time, because most of the time we don't look at the church as a genius plan. We look at it as a plan that we tolerate until we die. Or we don't tolerate it and we just live in disobedience. I want to live in light of a better game plan. I want us to see that participating in the local church is not non-negotiable in God's eyes. Because if we are going to be members of the body, that means there are other members of the body that the body can't function unless we're all working together. That if we're going to be a part of God's flock, that means I'm not the shepherd that gets to decide when I get out of the pen. That I have a responsibility to be in the flock with other members of the flock. That if I'm going to be a part of God's kingdom, I'm not the king of the kingdom. I'm just a member of the kingdom. And so if he tells me that I need to live as a part of his community called the local church, then I'm going to do that. And I'm going to do it joyfully. But I want to not just like, I don't want to paint just like a negative vision of I do this because I have to. I want to paint a positive vision. The local church is the only inheritor of the Great Commission. We are the only ones that have been given this glorious mission to go and make disciples. And therefore, it can only be fulfilled. And that's, again, not trying to paint a negative vision. I want to paint a positive vision that you will have access and support, and it will be blessed, your effort to make disciples. Friends, I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey, but you have both the responsibility, but also the opportunity to help other people grow in their walk with Jesus. They could right now be non-believers. They could completely not be followers of Jesus, and you have the chance to disciple them into the kingdom. And then there's others that they are in the kingdom, but they don't know how to follow. And you have the chance to help make disciples within the local body, but you've got to be committed to the local body first. All of these things work together: serving, generosity, community, evangelism. All of these things are working together as a part of a whole game plan. And all of God's game plan is done in light of his better story. And this better game plan is committed to and fulfilled, and the play is ran in light of God's glorious mission. And what I want to really challenge you with is, have you looked at that and said, yes, that is a reasonable cost for me to pay? You know, completing the sort of sports analogy, if you were to watch a football game, specifically if you were to watch wide receivers, they have to run a route whether they get the ball or not. There's no guarantee that a receiver is going to get the ball on any given route, right? The best receivers run the route regardless if they're going to get the ball or not, and they give their full effort to it. And then when it's not even a run, they block as if their block is the whole game is riding on their block. And that's what I would invite you into as you think about your participation in heart and soul. Have you been participating with a sense of expectation that I'm making a difference because I'm heart and soul? Or is heart and soul something you do just because we ask you to on Sunday? Or just because there's been a KK serving invitation? Or just because, you know, Jordan and Morgan send me a lot of emails about it? I want you to see how being heart and soul is participating in God's game plan for fulfilling his glorious mission. There are people that sit in our church Sunday after Sunday that are just consuming. And the path that's going to get them from consuming to contributing is your participation in their discipleship. There's not enough sermons that we can preach. There's not enough Sundays that we can have. We need all of our people pursuing zealously those who are just contributing, or sorry, just consuming in the life of our church, to compel them to contribute to God's glorious mission. And we do that by working God's great game plan. And so, yeah, I would just want to challenge us. Do we understand how to get the most out of all of these things? Look, if some of these things are wasted motion and time, then let's just stop doing them. Let's just go do something else. And I actually think I'm in agreement with the Apostle Paul there, that if none of this is real, if none of this matters, then let's just live as everybody else is. But if there's been a better story through the crucifixion of Jesus and the resurrection, then there's got to be a better game plan. So let's get really good at that better game plan, because we want to see God's glorious mission fulfilled.